Then we like to turn to 1 Peter and read part of the verse of Scripture. In Titus, the 2nd chapter and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. To all men. Notice in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. The God of all grace has called us. I believe every one we read about in the Bible, where that they were saved, you'll see there where that God appeared. And we know that that's the reason that they was saved, because God did appear to them. We think of Saul on the road to there to Damascus, going there to arrest people for preaching the truth, the word of the Lord. And there, the Lord appeared unto him.
Amen, brother.
And I believe there's a manifestation that he was saved, because he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do?
Yeah.
There's others in the Bible. The woman at the well. We just want to mention a few of these. The woman at the well said, come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. And she left the water pot and went and told people about the Lord. I believe there's a manifestation there that the Lord had appeared and worked, and she was saved. And she went into the city, and many believed because of the saying of the woman. The man out among the tombs, there at the very sinful man,
yes.
And in the book of Luke, in the 8th chapter,
yes.
Speaks about how that the Lord came to him and saved him. And after he was saved, there he wanted to be with the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord says, return into thy home and show how great things thou hast done.
Yes.
Said he returned to the city and made known throughout the city how great things God had done for him. I believe that's a manifestation of salvation. And that's the thing that we begin to do when we were saved.
Amen.
When I was saved, I had a brother 2 years older than me. He was the first one I tried to tell about the Lord. God saves us, blesses us there with it, that interest and concern to know more about the Lord. He's put a love in our life for other people. He's caused us to want to live for the Lord, want to have more understanding of God's Word, all because of the grace of God. So, as we think about this grace, we'd like to turn back to the book of Romans just a minute. Notice there in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, how it reads in verse 29, for whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. God foreknew me. He foreknew you. He knew where you was going to be born. He knew when you was going to be born. He knew how you was going to grow up. He knew how you was going to live. He knew when and time that he was going to call someone with the gospel to preach the gospel unto you.
Amen.
He knew that he was going to appear unto you in power of the Holy Spirit, there to convict you of your sin, and to save you by his grace, the God of all grace. And so, notice as we read just a little bit farther, moreover whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called them he also justified, and whom he justified he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The great God of the universe, the one that knows all, the one that has all power, the great love that has been manifested there to people. Over in 1 John, the third chapter, it said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us.
Amen.
We might be called the sons of God. It's because of God's grace that that love was manifested unto us. He was the one that made us to see and to understand it by the Word and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It was revealed unto us because of his grace. And notice this says, if God be for us, who can be against us? God was for us in eternity. Before the foundation of the world, he was for us. We didn't know anything about that. I didn't know anything about that a long time after I was saved. I'm thankful today that that is revealed unto me, that that truth that I know there in the truth and the word of the Lord, there that God foreknew me, and he called me, he convicted me of my sin, and he saved me by his grace. And if God be for us, he was for us in that time, before eternity. He was for us there as he called us, there as he caused someone to preach to us the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is for us after that we were saved by the grace of God. He added us to his church. And there he began to teach us some truths. And we begin to hunger for that truth, and that's also because of the grace of God that we did hunger for those truths, and we did want to know more about the Word of the Lord, the God of all grace. Now, we think about this God. Think about the greatness of him. We'd like to turn back to the book of Psalms and read a verse or two of Scripture. Psalm 145, I believe. Notice how it reads. Psalms 145, and in verse, well, let's begin reading verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Yes. And his greatness is unsearchable.
Amen.
His love is unsearchable. His power is unsearchable. All things that God does and has done, that's the God today that has known us. That's the God that has called us. That's the God that chose us unto salvation. That's the one that was able to save us and save us to the uttermost. We're at peace today because of what God has done. In Romans, the fifth chapter and verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We not only have that, but we have access to this grace. The next verse says, he has given us access there to grace and power. Now, we want to think about, now he has supplied the grace for us to serve him. Notice in 2 Corinthians how that it reads in 2 Corinthians. I don't believe there's anything that the Lord would have us to do or anything that he calls on us to do. I don't believe there's any situation or any problem in this world that we ever involved in that what God's grace is not sufficient for us that it might be overcome. Notice this reads here in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 6, but This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's not a work that God would have us to do as any member of the church that is here this morning or any pastor that is here, but what God has in abounded there. Now let's read it again in verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. In other words, he'll make that grace abound toward us, and we'll be able to do that. It's in the hands of God. We may think many times we can't do that. I thought when the Lord called me to preach, I couldn't do that. There's many other things that we don't do today that we should do. There's things about talking to lost souls. That's not an easy thing to do. But God will give us grace to do that.
Amen.
God gives us grace to preach the messages. I thought about last night as I was studying about a message that our pastor brought last Sunday. And it took grace to preach that message. He preached it because he loved the people. He preached about people not attending a service. Brought out things. But he preached, he says, I'm not preaching this to rebuke you in a way because I hate you, but he said, because I love you. Because of the grace of God, this church here has a pastor that is concerned about you. He warns you.
Amen.
About the things of this world, about evil and the things that will hurt you and be harmful and hurtful to you as you live and try to serve the Lord. And today, as he's declaring, and as our pastor declared the message there last Sunday, there it was there for the purpose, and it's because of the grace of God there that it was brought, and that those people there would hear that word, and they would realize the need of turning back to God and being in the service of the Lord, that they would encourage their pastor, they would encourage one another. And all today, as we think about the thing that happened as God made preparation for the salvation to be taken care of and paid for, let us turn to the Gospel of John. And let's notice here in the Gospel of John how that reads in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. Notice here in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus Christ now was facing the time of going to the cross and there to suffer and to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. We want to read another piece of past scripture in a little bit. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Notice here in the book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter, how that reads, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Oh, consider that took place there. We could go back in the prophecy there of Isaiah, where it says, I gave my back to the smiters, to them that plucked off the beard. Came on down through time. There came the time for him to go to the cross to suffer and bleed and die. They led him up Golgotha's hill. They had planted a crown of thorns upon his head. They had spit upon him. And one of the most disgraceful things to be thought about. Yet he did not turn back. He went on. And there as they nailed him to the cross, and there on the cross of Calvary, suffering and bleeding and dying there, all because that he wanted to please the Father. And that he loved us. And he was pleasing the Father. He was fulfilling that. And there as he did hang there on the cross and suffer and die. And we want to turn now to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. Notice here in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John how that it reads. And in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things now were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Down through the time, the plan that God had, because of the grace of God there, and that He had planned, and there Jesus Christ went to the cross here of Calvary, and there now these things had all been accomplished, that had been spoken about in the Old Testament, that is shown there as the animal died, the sacrifice made there, that Jesus Christ was going to come into this world one day, and there was going to suffer and die on the cross of Calvary. Now that has been accomplished. Notice how this reads again. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now therefore, they set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled it with a sponge, and put it upon a hyssop, and put it to his lips. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now I noticed that passage of Scripture a while back. I don't believe that Jesus Christ was out of his mind or any such thing as that. I believe he was alert. And there when that time come, I don't believe his head was falling down on his chest. I believe he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And there, because of the grace of God. And there is, we see that time come there for this to take place. There, this was finished. It's all because of God's grace. As we said a while ago, we believe that there is many things that the Lord would have us to do in this world. And many times we do not do the things that the Lord requires of us. But it's not because the grace is not there. The grace is there. We're thankful today that the Lord has placed the church in this world. And there that the Lord has also made plans that those churches are going to be able to grow. Those churches are going to be able to advance and go forward there for the honor and for the glory of the Lord. And I believe this is all done because of the grace of God. Notice this as we turn to the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians. You know, we're saved by the grace of God. Then there time come there that God had a man there he had prepared to teach us the word of the Lord that we might begin to grow. And here in Ephesians the 4th chapter in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. And he gave them for the purpose here that the church might be strengthened and built up. How much do you learn your own self? How much do you come to the place that you know your own self? But how much has your pastor taught you and preached unto you that has been a great blessing unto you? What has happened? All because of the grace of God. God has brought it about. He seeks the Lord's will. The Lord knows the message that is needed. He comes and He preaches that message. And what happens when we enter into the service of the Lord on the Lord's Day and on Wednesday night and on Sunday night? What happens there? We're lifted up. We're prepared to go out and to live in the world to conduct ourselves as we should there because of the grace of God. Notice in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And there, as we are edified, and we was edified here last night in the service, and I hope we'll be edified this morning in the service. We'll be lifted up as we leave the service and we leave this conference. We'd be lifted up. It'll be because God has used the men of God to preach and declare the message of the word of God. And we are reminded of the things that Christ has done for us. And there we leave the services lifted up till we all come in the unity of the faith. You know, this is not what some people think that it is. But there's a lot of churches today gathering together, of this denomination and that denomination, and the Baptist church there, and they talk about what a time they had, and they call it a unit service. That's not unity. Unity is the true missionary Baptist church, believing the Word of God and believing the very same thing and being in unity around that.
Amen.
That's unity.
Amen.
And that's what the Baptist church is standing for. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning and crafting whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Can you go back in your life and remember there that after you were saved, that there was someone there ready to try to tell you different than what your pastor was telling you, your pastor was teaching you? A lot of times they could very easily deceive me. I didn't know any different. But I know a little bit different now. Why? Because someone preached to me. Someone taught me. And we studied. And there we come to the place now that we listen to people on TV, first one place and another, and we can tell pretty well what's going on. So what happened? God has, by His grace, given that placed the church in this world and it brought together for unity and for fellowship and the gospel to be preached and for people to be saved, and there then taught the truth of the word of the Lord, and that body of people working there for the honor and for the glory of the Lord. That's all because and by His grace.
Amen.
We'd like to turn back to the First Peter again, in the 5th chapter. But the grace of God, or the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now that glory, we're not going to wait for that till we go home to be with Him, but we're sharing that glory now. We're sharing that glory now. We sang, "That will be glory when I meet Him face to face." But today it's glory for me that I can read in the Word of God that He chose me before the foundation of the world. And it's glory for me today that He has promised me in His Word, if I would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, that He would save me eternally. It's glory for me today that I know that He's coming back after me. And we should be thankful and ready to think about this. Now notice something else. We was talking about being strengthened a while ago. Notice it reads in this very same verse of Scripture, "After that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect." This doesn't mean you'll ever come to the place that you never sin in this world, but it means that you'll grow up. You'll be strengthened in that way. And you grow up to where you live for the Lord. You know how to live for the Lord. You serve the Lord. You'll do the things that brings honor and glory to the name of the Lord. And there you're going to face trials and testings. The devil is not going to let you alone. But there is escape from those things as Satan comes. Now we just like to turn to the book of James just a little bit and notice here in the book of James there is resisting grace. God blesses us with resisting grace. In James the 4th chapter and in verse 6, "But we but he giveth grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now how do you resist the devil? Only by the grace of God.
Amen, brother.
Only by the grace of God. Now notice. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many times in our life that you can think about, maybe even daily, that there's some kind of sin that gets to bothering us? We stop and we ask God to help us.
Yes.
We submit ourselves to God.
Amen.
And he will resist the devil. And that devil's going to have to flee.
Yes.
This is because of the grace of God. And notice that we go just a little bit farther. Down in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know why many times we get out of the will of the Lord? We get to doing things that's not pleasing to the Lord, and we come to the place to realize that we're out of the will of the Lord. But there as we turn there unto the Lord, as we should there, and humble ourselves, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, this past scripture over in the book of Proverbs, I believe a preacher taught us from this, in the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. You know, we get to doing things sometimes we shouldn't. We get to go in places sometimes we shouldn't. We get involved in things we shouldn't. In Proverbs, fourth chapter, and in verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the ways of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Now, how many times have you thought about going someplace? You realize that you shouldn't go there. I preached this message that my subject was detour. You know, you see a detour sign wrong, that means there's something down the road bad.
Mm-hmm.
This Bible is a detour sign to every one of us. And this is a detour sign here. And notice how simple this is. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't go with the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. How are you going to avoid it? By the grace of God. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Turn from those things. Many times people say, oh, we can't turn from those things. Many times people say, we can't do this. We can't go to church. Or we cannot do the things that's required of us. But we can by the grace of God.
Amen.
He's the God of all grace.
Amen.
And there's no trial or testing in this world that you ever faced or that I ever faced, but what we could not avoid that, but what we could not turn from that, by looking to God, he will provide that grace. And as we said a while ago, that will be glory when we stand face to face with him. But there is glory now because of what God has done for us.
Amen, brother.
And it's glorious there to just read in the Word of the Lord and to think about that God has promised us. Notice in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John how that reads, let not your hearts be troubled.
Amen.
You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether you go, you know, and the way, you know. So, this is a promise here. We believe this is actually to the church. We believe that the Lord is speaking to His church here. There's already many mansions there. But the Lord is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And what does the book of Revelation 21st chapter, where does it say that in the city of Jerusalem? Where do we? If we're in the true church, we'll be in the bride. That's where the bride will be. So today, the God of all grace that has strengthened us, and closing today, notice this again as we read the rest of this verse of Scripture here in 1 Peter in the 10th chapter. How it reads, after you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We suffer some, but we should be willing to suffer. Amen. For the sake of our Savior.
Amen.
No, just to think, you look back on your life, as your pastor has stood and preached unto you, and some of you young today, some of you are growing now, all of us is growing as far as that is concerned. But you see and you come into the house of the Lord, and there as you go from day to day and from week to week and year to year, you're being established and strengthened and settled. Nothing greater for your pastor to see than to see you come and hunger for that Word of God. And bring your Bible and search the Scriptures.
Amen.
The God of all grace will supply that grace under any circumstance we ever faced and ever will.
Amen, brother.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Praise God.